What if this whole social media revolution wasn't about Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube? What if it was really about a change in the way you operate your business? What if, for the first time in history, you could say that you put your customer at the center of your business model and actually mean it? Well, I know how Joseph Jaffe would answer this. You're damn straight that this is what it's about. In fact, he would argue that it's time to flip the funnel. Traditional marketers would tell us that we need to lead a prospect through a funnel, where they're aware of your product, then take an interest in your product, then have a desire for the product, and then finally take action. Ta-da! The whole world chanting, AIDA, AIDA. But things aren't what they used to be. An AIDA is starting to look like a Model T instead of a Ferrari. It's out of date, oversimplified, and incomplete. Why? Because the reality of business tells us we need more people to buy from us, but we also need them to buy more often, to spend more in the process, and to tell the entire world about how awesome we are. AIDA focuses solely on the first point at the exclusion of the other three. So how do you change? You flip the funnel and realize that action in AIDA is only the beginning. In fact, if you take the traditional funnel, completely flip it over, you get ADIA, where A equals acknowledgement, D equals dialogue, I equals incentivization, and A equals activation. This is the world we live in now, and Flip the Funnel is your guidebook. Learn everything you need to know about how to flip the funnel and win in this new economy where customers actually want to be treated with respect and are willing to pay handsomely for it. Retention, my friends, is the new acquisition. And as you'll find out in this book, you can take that one to the bank. The traditional funnel. Third prize is you're fired. That scene from Glengarry Glen Ross is etched into my memory. Alec Baldwin standing up in front of a room of salespeople saying, "You've got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money for them. Get their names and sell them. Get them to sign on a line which is dotted." Now, of course, the scene is obviously way over the top. But he goes on to describe something very interesting, the traditional marketing funnel, AIDA, attention, interest, desire, and the light at the end of the funnel, action. Everything else, like the customer having a great experience, well, that's somebody else's problem. The problem is that in this mindset, that marketing's role is to generate leads at all costs, and it's still as pervasive today as it was when he yelled action on the set and Baldwin started his now famous speech. We've spent billions of dollars trying to get people to travel down this funnel. Super Bowl ads, magazine spreads, and lately, more than a few viral videos. The problem with this thinking is that it doesn't really matter how many people see your kitten on a treadmill YouTube video. What you need and want are profitable, long-term relationships with customers. It's fairly telling that the most glamorous awards for the advertising world, held at Cannes, not surprisingly, have nothing to do with how effective they were in generating business. This thinking is severely out of date. It's oversimplified. It also leads to a company that doesn't deliver as advertised. How many snappy commercials are going to get you over an amazingly crappy experience on an airline? Although it's becoming a cliche, the world truly has changed in the past 5 or so years. If you ignore these new realities, the third prize will shortly be yours. Part 2, a new way forward. There are many different ways we could move forward, but only one that would truly capture the new reality we're living through. The first option would be to extend the funnel. A lot of organizations are here now. We'll set up a loyalty program for our customers because we love our customers, right? Or maybe we'll have a shiny new CRM so we can continue to blast our newfound customers with offers because we love our customers, right? Or my personal favorite, we'll do one-to-one marketing where we'll swap out Dear Customer for Dear Bob. Not only do these things not work in the long term, sometimes they actually have a negative effect on loyalty. A recent study by Forrester Research has proven this for the banking, mobile phone, and consumer packaged goods categories. What did have a strong correlation to loyalty? Prior experience, trust, and reliable service. I think it comes down to something simple and fundamental, actually caring about your customers. If you spend the entire day walking around trying to find ways to trick people to buy from you, you're not coming from a place of trying to figure out how to provide value, and so you won't. Third prize is yours. The second option would be to turn the funnel on its side. Over the past 5 years, the voice of the customer has become significantly amplified, from about a 1 or a 2 up to a spinal tap invoking 11. You could take part in this, but you'd be doing something that was a reality anyways, whether you involved yourself or not. Choose this new way forward and you'd probably get second prize, the steak knives, but keep your job. The last and the option that makes the most sense is to completely flip the funnel. We've all heard the case studies that say it costs far more to acquire a new customer than it does to steward an existing one. So why, oh why, do we focus so little of our attention on it? Jaffe suggests that if we focus more of our attention on the other end of the funnel, the stuff that happens after the sale is made, we'd be much more successful. And because we hate change so much, he was kind enough to actually flip the entire funnel and turn AIDA into ADIA. You see how he did that? You actually flip the funnel. Brilliant. So after a customer buys, we now acknowledge them, start a dialogue with them, incentivize them, and activate them. Part 3, how to flip the funnel. The first thing we do on the other side of the funnel is acknowledge. This is what makes people feel important and they made the right choice. This acknowledgement can come in many forms. Saying thank you. Seems simple enough, right? As many people would tell you, it's one of the strongest two-word combinations we have at our disposal. Give a progress report. There's nothing worse than placing an order and then not hearing anything until your new book, furniture, or even food at the restaurant arrives. Tell them when it's shipped or that your steak will be out in 5 minutes. Do a courtesy check-in. Call your customer just to see how they're doing, without any other hidden agenda. They'll love you for it. Now, there's a right and a wrong way to do this, and it's all about the delivery. I recently had an experience at a car rental establishment where the lady behind the counter said all the right things, but the way she delivered it was a way that literally made my skin crawl. Even worse than no acknowledgement at all is an acknowledgement that isn't genuine. Dialogue. The dark side of the funnel contracts as we move down it, while this side expands as we move along. Now that we've established a little bit of trust, it's time to take that next step and engage in dialogue with your customers. We live in what some people are calling the many-to-many era, where conversations are seemingly endless, and our place in them is uncertain. Keep one thing in mind. Our job now is to be ready to engage in dialogue with our customers on their terms. Here are a few things you can do to get the conversation started. Establish a customer club, forum, or group. The goal here is to convene the group, not to control it. So let conversations between the company and customers, and even conversations between the customers themselves, grow and flourish. Don't be a wallflower. Don't be that kid from high school who never got onto the dance floor because he or she didn't have the courage to make the first move. Just like in high school, there are plenty of rewards for getting on the dance floor. Listen. The world's best conversationalists are also the best listeners. Don't forget that. Find the right mix of technology and people. There are plenty of technologies available that can help you manage the immense flow of information if you happen to be working in a big company. But remember, you can't automate everything. People still want to talk to people, not an automated machine. Incentivization. Now it's time to start rewarding your customers so that they continue to buy from you. Jaffe asks a great question. Do you know what percentage of your business that comes from repeat customers? If not, you might want to start measuring. If a company like Coke can measure this, who know that 12% of their customers account for 80% of their sales, you can measure it too. You'll want to reward people not just for buying from you, but also for helping to spread the word. If you have any resistance to this idea, consider this brilliant point from Jaffe. You're already directly paying a network, publisher, or radio station to persuade people to purchase your product. So why not cut out the middleman and pay them directly? Activation. Up until now, the focus has mainly been on the customers themselves. But if you really want to blow the top off the funnel, it's time to start harnessing the power of the crowd. This is the most uncommonly used part of the flip funnel, mostly because it's the part that looks nothing like our old traditional world. So we need to look at those few who are doing it really well today in order to get some guidance. Nike sells running shoes. Millions of them. Yet they've created an amazing community around their Nike Run London, Human Race, and Nike Plus initiatives. Here's what the decision process looks like when deciding where to go for the next pair of running shoes. Do I buy from another brand who may or may not have shoes that will be better suited for me? Or do I buy again from Nike and get great shoes and a worldwide network of people who share my passion for running? It seems like a pretty simple choice to me. Nike has even ingeniously made a critical part of the community a part that fits into your Nike shoe and connects to your iPod. Then consider what you'll say to your other friends who are in the market for new shoes. It's powerful stuff. Part 4, tying it all together with customer experience. If you think about everything we're attempting to do with the flip funnel, it encompasses what has recently become the new buzzword in business, customer experience. After all, that's the only thing the customer cares about, right? One thing we need to do in order to make this happen is to ensure that your entire team is working on it. In this new world of video and camera phones and Twitter, it's the frontline employees who are the most visible, not the CEO. It's not enough that you state a commitment to excellence in customer service. You have to live and breathe it so that your customers experience it. To end this week's summary, here are a couple of gems from Jaffe's 10 new rules for customer service. Customer service doesn't stop at 5 p.m. on Friday. Customers don't plan to have their problems on nights and weekends with your product or service. It just seems that way. In the past, they would have waited quietly and stewed until Monday morning to get their help. That would be fine if we lived in a world where we could vent our frustration to only the people we could call or interact with on the weekend. But now, with one 140-character tweet, thousands of people are hearing about how crappy your company is. There are countless examples of issues blowing up over a weekend that could have easily been contained by just one person from the offending company issuing a 140-character reply to start a dialogue. If this seems like nonsense now, don't worry, it's going to happen to you soon. All customers are equal, but some are more equal than others. Again, we live in a world where news travels fast. One day, not too long ago, Southwest Airlines kicked a passenger off a plane because they were too fat and should have bought a second plane ticket, just like they had done countless other times. Except this time, that person was Kevin Smith, who just happens to be a celebrity that not everybody recognizes. So when Kevin Smith tweets about this, like he did, the whole world finds out very quickly and starts a firestorm around the policy. Remember, just because each of your customers have paid the same amount of money doesn't mean that you should be treating them the same way. Before you make your decisions, find out who is doing the complaining. If you want the rest, you're just going to have to go out and buy the book. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you got some value out of the summary. Please go buy the book, and we'll see you again next week.